And let's go and pray. Hi, Edward. He made it in. So, Lord, thank you for your words. And I pray that as we again and again and again and again open up a book, that we might understand it and we might be faithful to your words. And as we build line upon line, here a little, there a little, that we would develop, like in sports, the muscle memory, that we might develop biblical memory so that we can be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okie dokie. Romans is the first epistle in Paul's writings as it's laid out chronologically. It's not the first one that he wrote. Galatians would be the first one that he wrote. Okay, and in chapters 1, 2, and half of 1, half of 2. Lindsay, that's not a cell phone. She's trying to see if the baby's making a noise like this. So it deals with the sinfulness of man, and then at halfway through 3, he gives us the remedy. And the remedy is salvation. Salvation is imputed righteousness, justification. Okay, so that's our record in heaven. That's how God views us. But then chapter 6, 7, and 8 is helping, encouraging us to get our life as close to the record as possible, which we will never attain that until we see the Lord face to face. But he wants us to. But then a lot of people have baggage from the past, a lot of things of the past. Some folks is terrible. Some folks maybe had a good upbringing. But you still got to deal with those things. So chapter 7, he started off where he says, in the parentheses, I speak to them that know the law. So he's addressing to Jewish people. So we got, I think, down to 8 or 9 here. So, again, a lot of this is like technically legal terms, because I think Paul was some type of attorney under Roman authority, because one time he got arrested illegally, and when the fellows that arrested him discovered he was a Roman, they were deathly afraid. So, yeah, that's that. Okay, then, so he says in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, okay, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Okay, so again, he's looking at this spiritually. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Okay, so we are living in a time where some Gentiles think that they're obeying the law. You might, some of these black Hebrews think that they're obeying law, all 600 commandments, and it's like, you're not doing it. You're not dealing with reality. You know, some people that have a clear conscience just have a bad memory. And so that's how usually it is. Okay, so Paul is showing the struggles he has inwardly, and I would dare say he would have been, if not the greatest Christian, he would have been right at the top. And if he's having struggles with it, who are we? So then he says in verse 11, for sin taking occasion by commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. So sin is deceptive. Hebrews says the deceitfulness of sin. Usually what it is that you go ahead and commit this act and it will not affect you, or you will not suffer for it. That's usually how it's deceived, okay? And, okay, so-and-so did that, but they got caught. You can do that and you'll be okay. And that's the deception of it. And if we so-called get away with it here on earth, we're definitely, the Lord's going to bring it into account at the judgment any day. So then we got wherefore, verse 12. So wherefore, therefore, wherefore is more of the why, therefore is more of the that. Okay, wherefore the law is holy. So he's talking to Jewish people. He says the law is holy. Does that mean we are to obey it or keep it? No, he's just making a statement. The law is holy. And the commandment holy and just and good. Okay, for the Jews, under the Old Testament, if you would go to Leviticus 19. I think he fell in, Isaiah. I think he fell in. Leviticus. Leviticus 19, you'll see in verse 2, this would be the standards or a rule list or guidelines that God had for Israel for holiness. So you see that, Leviticus 19, 1, the Lord speaking unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so then everything that follows, okay, will be dealing with holiness under the Old Testament covenant. Okay, so you'll see in verse 3, Sabbaths. Now that's not for us. That's not for us. That's for Israel. Okay, and then you got idolatry, verse 4. And then you just read down through all of that. And now some of it he will get into business adventures, economics, okay, things like that. And that would be verse 35 and 36. 36, just balances, just weights, just ephah, just hin. Okay, shall ye have. Now that don't make sense to us, but that's weighing money. That's what that is, weighing money. Okay, we don't weigh money. We don't understand the money thing, and if I get into the money thing, ladies are going to get out of it. Just give me the cash and let me go. Okay, and so money that's proper is to be weighed. So that's gold and silver. Okay, so we got a parking lot down in Rensselaer, and amazingly, it didn't cost anything except a little ink on a piece of paper. Then you put 22,000,000. And amazingly, that little piece of paper handed to them made them happy enough to do our parking lot. Man, I thought that was a good deal. Okay, and so we just don't understand money. Okay, the currency that we have in our pocket, each bill costs 3.5-4 cents to create. Okay, that's what it costs. And then that's what the Treasury Department pays the printing cost for the Federal Reserve, and then the Federal Reserve gets it at face value. So what a scam. So the Bible does lay these things out. Okay, so Leviticus 19 is the definitive chapter on holiness for Israel. For us in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 4 would be a pretty abbreviated place. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. And so this one says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so that ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And then that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, big word, okay, fleshly thrills, even as Gentiles which know not God. And then verse 4, defraud, that's economy, that's business, you don't defraud somebody. And then verse 7, God has not called us unto cleanness but unto holiness. So there's the holiness, real abbreviated for New Testament. So the law is good when you read through the Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is the main one. Read through that. That's good. That's good. And it's a good legal foundation for a country. And our country took a lot of those things out of Deuteronomy and applied it applied it to our judicial system and even our monetary system. Okay, they did that too. And so some of those things are good, but we don't do the Judaism stuff. There are Judeo-Christian ethics. There are similarities between Judaism and Christianity, but there are unique differences. Okay, and so a person needs to discern that. Okay, in Acts 15, okay, in the book of Acts, you got a lot of things going on. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, not Christians. You have in Acts, in Acts 2, Jewish people were told to get baptized to receive the Holy Ghost. In Acts 8, Samaritans got baptized. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost, so they had to have the apostles come and lay hands on them. So then in Acts 10, a Gentile person, Cornelius, received the Holy Ghost by faith. So you got three different methods there, three different ways of people receiving the Holy Ghost. And a person says, well, which one would you apply to you? The Cornelius one, because he was a Gentile, and it says Gentiles received the Holy Ghost by faith. So that's the one. So then they had a big meeting in Acts 15 because this was very confusing. And so in Acts 15 is the last time we find Peter speaking in the book of Acts, the last record. So Peter's the main character at the beginning. Paul becomes the main character halfway through. And so you rob Peter to pay Paul. And so in there, they came up with the idea, what do we tell these Gentiles about the law? So that'd be Acts 15. And here's what they said. Acts 15. There are many people. One time I came across a Seventh-day Baptist south of Rensselaer. That was the first one for me. First and only one, to be honest. I think he was probably a lone wolf. And so, but Seventh-day Adventist. Sometimes, you know, when I travel, people ask, how do you do two churches? And I say, one's a Seventh-day Adventist, so I do that on Saturday. And the other's a Baptist, and I do that on Sunday. So, but in... And these people are thinking they're obeying the law, but they're not. Okay? And if somebody wants to keep the Sabbath, I wish I could. That'd be nice. Okay? But if somebody wants to keep it, fine. If they want to use it as a criteria for holiness, okay, that's a different ballgame. So what are we supposed to do according to the law? Acts 15, verse 20. These apostles came to this conclusion, but then we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. Pollutions of idols. So no idol statues, no statues. Now, Paul gave an additional idea, and he said, now, an idol is nothing. It is nothing. We know it's nothing. It might be a piece of stone. It might be a metal. It might be... You know, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Okay, and so, I mean, you got all those. And so, like this statue up here on 41, personally, I wouldn't mind if somebody kind of got tipsy and took a paintball gun and ping, 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 you know, at it. It means nothing, but these statues can be... it's not automatic, but they can be magnets for unclean spirits. They can be. And in some cultures where idolatry is very prevalent, the witches or the spiritism, they can pray that statue has more magnetism. That can be done. So he's telling us pollution of idols. So that would be a violation of the second of the Ten Commandments. Made graven images, but if you get the Catholic Catechism, they'll remove number 2, split number 10, so they still have 10. The second thing, from fornication, okay, so abstain from that. Fornication is defined in detail in Leviticus 18. So right before 19, unholiness 18. It's all about fornication. Now, the word fornication is not found there. It's found in 1 Corinthians 5 about a man and his mother, his father's wife, And then that takes you back to Leviticus 18. So you kind of take the scenic route on that one back there. So that's the two, and things strangled. I don't know what the big deal about that is. You know, strangled. And from blood. Now that might be deeper than we know. Because pagan cultures are infatuated with drinking blood, because in pagan cultures and in the elite, like the Klaus Schwab, into the adrenochrome, where they're drinking blood of children in order to extend your life. And I think that that's the first primary thing. Okay, what boy hasn't cut himself and, you know, got the blood? Okay, but this is pretty demonic. So you got this back in Genesis 9, first time, because that's probably what they were doing before the flood. You have it in Leviticus 17, and then we have it in Acts 15. So this is pretty dark. This is pretty dark. And supposedly this stuff was passed out at the Academy Awards this year, where they passed out little vials to some of the actors and actresses. Now, don't open this until afterwards. And some of them let it go, and boom, they're high as a kite. So I think that's pretty deep. That's pretty bad. And, of course, the devil sort of kind of keeps it hid from us common people, thank God. But that's what goes on behind the scenes. That's how evil these people are. And sometimes they'll even mock. They'll actually let it be known. They won't hide it. And they'll be arrogant to tell it. Okay? That's what Ellen DeGenerate. That's her name. DeGenerate. That's what it is. She was actually mocking it. You know, a skin swab that this one person says that keeps him looking very young. Well, tell him. That's from the foreskin of an infant. I mean, who does stuff like that? That's evil. Okay, and the Lord obviously is opposed to that. So those are the four things for New Testament believers. And you notice that he doesn't mention the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is between God and Israel specifically. America was much more spiritual, was in a better spiritual position when society as a whole closed their businesses on Sunday. It was better in America back then. But then we know some businesses, you can't do that. It's just impossible to do that. I was raised Dutch Reformed. And we looked at Sunday as the Lord's Sabbath. Now, it wasn't the Lord, but that's how we looked at it. And growing up on our farm, I remember one time Dad did something on a Sunday, and the hogs ran out of feed, and we got the feed grinder and put it under the elevator and ground some feed for the hogs. And that was it all those years because of our Dutch Reformed background. And I think that Dad did it also because of testimony. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but we're not required as the Sabbath goes. A principle of resting one day out of seven is a good principle. Okay, but according to this, the law is holy, the law is good. Okay, but it's not for salvation. Okay, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that. So those things are good. Those things are good. Okay? And we can learn a lot of things from, like the dress standards in the Old Testament. You could not have clothing that was different types of material. Okay? You couldn't do that. Now we're starting to discover, Jan and I have been kind of looking at that some clothes have an energy. And I would think the Lord was giving those people, hey, if you wear wool, there's an energy in wool that when it touches your skin, it accents your life. polyester, the energy in polyester is zero, which is death. That's what a dead body has, zero. And polyester does that. Cotton is a high one. Lisa, do you know any others?
Wool.
Okay. Linen. Okay, linen. We have linen bed sheets. Because, and then sometimes we have silver wire kind of interwoven into bed sheet, and then we plug it in the grounding button so you're grounding while you're sleeping. But, that's demonic. I shouldn't have said that. That's demonic. That's what the church in New York, in Pennsylvania said. That's demonic. Okay, so, yeah. And so there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that the Lord had the Jews do, and we don't understand why. And sometimes we're starting to discover these things. Okay, verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? Okay, the answer is God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful. Okay, so this is often legislators will pass a law after some crime, and what they're doing is they're trying to make the crime more evil, like hate crimes. And you would think, okay, if a guy murdered somebody, it's obviously he hate him. And you got to put a hate crime. Well, they're just kind of tacking onto it. And this is kind of what the Lord is doing also. And he's showing us our need of the Savior. Then he says, 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Okay, carnal, carnivorous, carnival. Okay, and Paul said, he didn't say I was carnal. He said I am carnal. And here, wow. You know, if a believer can lose their salvation, I would have done lost it a long time ago. And in the Bible, when a sinner repents and gets right, there's rejoicing in heaven. I mean, I could have had them rolling in their aisles up there. Get it Monday, lose it Tuesday, get it Wednesday, lose it Thursday, you know, back and forth. That's why it's called the work of God. Boy, what a blessing we have in that. And so the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And then Paul gives the reality that we all struggle with inwardly, if we're honest about ourselves. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Yeah, that's right. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So the law is telling me what I'm doing is wrong. Okay, now in the New Testament, the first time he uses the word conscience is in John 8:9. That's with the woman taking adultery in the very act. So that's the first time the word conscience, and then it says that God's written a law on our conscience. And this is often an argument against evolutionists. Where do you get your moral standards? And I would say society. What if society says we could kill somebody to appease the pagan deities? Well, then they say it's within. No, they won't admit it, but the reason why they do have some atheists, they got morality, is because God wrote it on their conscience. But it's right there. Okay, so then he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so that's what's in our nature. Okay, that's our sin nature. For I know that in me, okay, then he gives an added thought in parentheses. Very important. For I know that in me, there that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Because in me, in my soul, dwelleth Jesus Christ. Okay, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. See how precise the Bible is in that? For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Okay, for to will is present with me. for to will. A person's, you know, will to do the right thing. Where there's a will, there's a way. But sometimes even it's present, but I cannot get it to work. But how to perform that which I find not. Or which is good, I find not. For the good that I would... Okay, so these would be the sins of omission rather than the sins of commission. Most churches, especially fundamental churches, talk about sins of commission. And they rarely talk about sins of omission. And they almost always talk about fleshly sins, carnal sins, but they don't talk about spiritual sins, especially envy and pride. You go to a preacher's meeting, you'll never hear him preach on envy and pride, because that's probably their biggest thing. Envy and pride. Okay, and they don't talk about that. Sin does, there is a different levels in sin, because the last words Jesus said to Pilate in John 19, he said, "The ones who have committed me unto you have committed the greater sin." So there are, the Catholics have what's called venial and mortal. Okay, venial sins would be, you know, a Catholic picking on a Protestant. And a mortal sin would be a Protestant picking on a Catholic. Okay, and so, but they do have these different levels. I would say in the Bible would be the difference between spiritual sins and fleshly sins. Okay, if you look at David and King Saul, David committed adultery and murder. Saul attempted murder, but God took the kingdom from Saul and not David. A lot of people would have thought he should have taken it from David, not Saul. But here's the difference. When both of them were wrong, and when God said to Saul about his wrong, he blamed everybody else but himself. But like modern American society. Oh, that was on Friday night. That one chair fell, and this little girl standing there, and a chair fell, and she goes like this. Yeah. I mean, there we go. Adam and Eve. Everything's back to Adam and Eve. You know? It was her. And, oh, no, it was the snake. The Democrats say, no, it's the Republicans, you know? And these people that got Trump derangement syndrome, you know, it's all Trump. And so I'm certain us parents that, you know, if you got five kids, living kids, you know there's got to be a sixth one somewhere, because that's the invisible one that does all the wrong. And so that's how that works. But that's human nature, okay? For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Repeating, it's in our nature. God gives every dog enough fleas to remind it's a dog. And then some dogs, when he said, I'm going to pass out brains, they thought he meant trains, and so they went and found a choo-choo. And that would be poodles. Them little dogs are nothing but cats that are, you know, identifying as a dog. Elmer's not, I'm talking about them little rat ones. Chihuahua, yeah. Elmer's got a lot of wisdom because it's got the gray hair, the white hair. So, yeah. So, and then it says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I that do it, okay, sin dwelleth in me. Then he says, verse 20, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Okay, on a street corner, holding a sign, doing good, and if we're honest about our thoughts while we're out there, evil is present with me. Okay, getting ready to preach. Sometimes thoughts come to my head while I'm getting ready. Where'd that come from? Boy, I don't want to put that on the screen, because these thoughts are floating through the air. Everything's going around, all over the place. All these, some of our dreams, you know. My dreams are usually I'm behind the pulpit in my underwear. I forgot to put my pants on that day. That's what my dreams are. Then I want to stay behind the pulpit the whole time. You know, and so that's how it goes. So I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's just being honest about ourselves. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So the way we would strengthen our inner man is delighting in the law of God. Okay, the more Bible, okay, what is our motive for getting Bible in us is not to impress, but to help us impart, to give us strength. Okay, analyze yourself. Do you have some weaknesses? Find Bible verses that strengthen your weakness. Get them memorized. Get them in your heart. When you get that temptation, quote them out loud. That's how Charles Hood, he gave up smoking. Charles was the epileptic that, you know, lived alone. He was bored all the time, so he'd take up cigarettes and all that stuff. And the way he wanted to quit, and the way he quit is he memorized Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When he got the urge, he would quote that out loud, and it would go away. And that's how he gave it up. And so, myself, I've never been there. I don't understand that. But I know that's difficult for some people. And then he says, for I see another law in my members. Okay, another law in my mind, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. So this is the inner fighting, inner war we all have. We all have. And then notice Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And in the King James Bible, it's got the exclamation point. In the originals, they didn't have punctuation. But this is all part of God's progressive revelation where he is giving more and more light. So, O wretched man that I am, as he's writing that, God is saying, holy men of God spake as removed by the Holy Ghost. As he's writing that, God is saying he's a holy man. The man who's holy, who's writing that, said, I am a wretched man. And that's, again, it's just being honest. And this idea of spirits and words where it can just be floating and boom, boom, boom. Peter, when he said, I will never deny you, I will die for you, he meant that. But the circumstances came up in a moment, and he denied him three times. And all that it took was when that rooster crowed, the Lord looked at him, he looked at the Lord, they were within eyeshot. And it's all that it took, a look from innocent eyes of a dove, Jesus Christ, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's what kind of a conscience we need, that tender toward the Lord. A look from Jesus, a look from him, a look from somebody who loves you, a look. And it doesn't have to be one of my wife's crusty looks that our kids talked about. Boy, she can give a crusty. I mean, a crusty, that's a really important one. But and living in this day, the way people are in stores and stuff with children, small kids and everything, you cannot touch your kids in public. Somebody will rat you out. And you've got to have such a close relationship with your children that a look will take care of it. And then you get him in a car and then you can whatever you need to do. Okay, but yes, Jesus in his day, he told you, you got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And when you're on street corners, you got to be so wise to deal with people. You are very careful with your words. And you got to see if somebody's trying to catch you in your talk and tangling. Mainly that's where you got foot traffic here in Lowell. You know, you get the Hawaiian salute, you know, a couple of times, you know, and, you know, horn honking, you know. The Hawaiian salute when they really mean, like, oh, that just hurts my heart. Man, you just really got me. I mean, what kind of people do that for holding up a sign? You know, but there's some deep-seated problems that those people have. So he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, we know who's going to deliver us from it. And I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's our deliverer. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So this is why we got to renew our mind, and he does say that a few chapters later, chapter 12. Renew our mind. Renew our mind. Okay, we'll stop there. And you need to go rescue somebody. Okie dokie, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us be good students of your words. In Jesus' name, amen.